You know, some mornings we wonder, what is the Lord doing? What is He doing in our midst? And today we're going to be continuing our series looking at the road less traveled. And as I was considering what Jesus did on His road all around the countryside in Judea, Jesus did a lot of things that were good. And we can say, wow, we should be just like Jesus. But for many years, Jesus was followed along by some disciples. At least 12, maybe 70, maybe more. But when we think about the disciples, we think, man, if you were a disciple of Jesus, it should be so easy to follow Him. It should be so easy to just do what He did and learn from Him. They should never have any doubts or concerns. They could just go to Jesus. He's right there after all. But as we read through the ministry of Jesus' life, we see the disciples falling short. We're going to be looking at Luke chapter 9, verses starting in verse 46, if you'd like to open up your Bibles to start there. A little bit of context for you. In the book of Luke so far, Jesus has had amazing ministry. He's called His disciples, and He's been with them for 3 years, and now He's about ready to go to Jerusalem. In just this chapter, He sent out the 12, and they were doing amazing ministry, healing the sick, proclaiming the good news. Jesus fed 5,000 people all at once with like nothing at all. He was declared to be the Messiah by Peter in front of all the other disciples. And Jesus told them that He was the Son of Man, that He was going to be killed by religious leaders and then raised on the third day. And then right afterwards, Peter, James, and John saw Jesus transfigured on the mountaintop. And He told them not to tell anyone about it. And so you would think, with all of these things going on, whatever Jesus said, they should really have figured it out by now. They should know all of these things. But it says in the text that the Lord had hidden these things from them. They didn't fully understand the fullness of what Jesus was telling them, even though He was right there. It says in Luke chapter 9, verse 46, an argument started among the disciples as to which of them would be the greatest. Jesus, knowing their thoughts, took a little child and had him stand beside him. Then He said to them, whoever welcomes this little child in My name welcomes Me, and whoever welcomes Me welcomes the one who sent Me. For it is the one who is the least among you. For the one who is the least among you all who is the greatest. So here's the disciples. They know, they've been told what's going to happen to Jesus. They know He's the Messiah, and yet they're arguing about who can serve Him as His right-hand man. Who's going to be the greatest except Jesus? Of course, He's going to be the best. But besides Him, who's going to be His advisor? Who's going to be, you know, His long arm of the law going out there and doling out justice? Who's going to be Jesus' right-hand man? Who's going to be number two or three or four? Where do I sit at the table in Jesus' kingdom? And you know what He does? Jesus rebukes them by telling them the importance of the least of these. He says, whoever is least among you is the greatest. The disciples were trying to elevate themselves. And this is upside down. If you read through the Old Testament, you hear about all this intrigue, political intrigue, and all this discourse about who could be in charge and who could be this and who could be that. And there's all these things going on, and this is the culture of the world. You had to do your absolute best in order to be made more important. They were trying to be second to God. And so they had to, they were thinking, I have to do the absolute most that I can even think of so that I can be second to God Himself. But Jesus is saying, guys, you've got it all wrong. This is not how you were to live. You are not to fight to be the greatest. Instead, you are to live to serve even the least of these. And when you serve the least, you put yourself under them. You make yourself less than them. And when you are the least, then in God's kingdom, you are the greatest. When you lower yourself to serve those who are on the bottom, God elevates you. Instead of you elevating yourself, you are elevated by the Lord. This is the opposite of how the world works. To become the greatest in the world, you usually have to work hard, buckle down, promote yourself, go and do over and above to stand out. And oftentimes you put others down to stand on their metaphorical corpses, to be raised to the top of the corporate business or whatever ladder is going on in the world. That's how the world works. We hear about it all the time. But Jesus is saying, instead of doing things this way, how it's always been done, instead you are to humble yourself and serve others. And as you humble yourself and serve others, God will raise you up to be higher than any others. This is how the disciples were to follow Jesus. And so you may be wondering, how does this work for us? How do we apply this to our lives? His instruction, His correction, His rebuke for us would be much the same. Because the world hasn't changed outside of the church. People are still slashing the competition, working long hours, staying away from home and to try and get a raise and a promotion. Clocking in early, clocking out late. Burning the candle at both ends to try and make another buck, to try and get a step up. That's still how the world works. And Jesus is saying, if you want to be the greatest in my kingdom, that's not how you're supposed to be. To be made great, the greatest in my kingdom, you are to serve the least. I'm reminded of Jesus' rebuke of the Pharisees, who would do all sorts of religiously pious things in front of the crowds to be built up by the people. But yet their faith was shallow. Jesus rebuked them many, many times. He called them whitewashed tombs, beautiful on the outside, but dead inside. And in a similar way, if the only time you serve God, if the only time we serve God is when we can be up on stage, or when you can be noticed, or when you can be elevated, and it's not actually about how you can serve God, but rather how you can elevate yourself or make yourself look good inside your local church or in your community, then your heart's in the wrong place. If you serve God to be raised up by the people around you, your heart's in the wrong place. You will not be the greatest in God's kingdom unless you are the least. God doesn't want someone to elevate themselves. He doesn't want someone who's seeking to please people and to make people raise them up. God wants someone who seeks to please Him and Him alone. Who seeks to bring Him glory. Who seeks to bring praise to God through their actions. Instead of promoting ourselves as Christians, we are to humble ourselves and to promote God. To serve others with the selfless love of God, and by doing that, He will lift us up rather than any human institution doing so. So how do we do that? What does it look like to serve the Lord humbly? We can look at this for many different ways, but look at what it says in the text. Jesus knowing their thoughts about who could be the greatest, took a little child, had him stand beside him. Whoever welcomes this little child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. So what does that mean? Back in those days, if you were a little child like Addie and Lennox right there, you know what they would do? Put them in the corner. Don't let them talk. We don't want to hear them. We don't want to hear think about them. In the synagogue, you know where the kids went? They didn't go. Because they had no social status or power in the community. This is what people thought of the kids. If you were a little child in those days, they just expected you probably to die. And so they didn't worry about what your authority you had, or what you had to say, or even where you would stand. The moms would worry about them, I'm sure, but the people? The rabbis? No, they didn't think about the little kids. Not until they're coming to adulthood, at 13 or 14 years old. But what Jesus is saying is, whoever welcomes this little child, someone who is so outcast and so not thought of that he's not even named in the Bible, whoever welcomes this little child welcomes God himself. Now back then, the idea of welcoming someone was so much more than what we think of today. Well, you welcome someone to your house and you know, you set all these rules. They can't go into this part of your house. You can't go into this part of my house. You can't go into my bedroom. It's mine. You can here's some plastic dishes because I don't trust you with the nice ones. And we're going to buy some special food just for you, but because we don't want you to eat our food. That's how we do it today. But back then, they practiced radical hospitality. Because back in the Old Testament, Abraham saw some three dudes walking in the heat of the day, and he said, hey, come and stay with me. Let me care for you and bless you. And you know what? Who it happened to be when Abraham welcomed these three strangers who came in the middle of the day, and he served them and blessed them and kept them? You know who it was? God. And so the people of Israel, all since then, followed this practice that they had to welcome people as if God himself was in their midst. And you know what Jesus says? Whoever welcomes this little child in my name welcomes me. And you know who Jesus is? Joshua says, Jesus is God. And you know what? He's right. Whoever welcomes me welcomes God. And whoever welcomes God welcomes the one who sent me, who's also God. And so what are we supposed to do? Well, we welcome the little child. But in our society today, the little children are not the most, or not the least anymore. You know who are the least? The drug addicts. Those in prison. Widows are oftentimes the least. The homeless. The poor. The displaced. The strung out. Struggling single parent, the hospitalized, those in nursing homes. Who do you think of when you think of the least in our society today? Jesus is saying, you should be welcoming them as if they were God himself, serving them the very best, giving them the very best, and caring for them the very best. And if you submit yourself to serve these people that way, then you will be made the greatest. Because it changes your hearts when you're serving other people. Serving God is not about what you get from Him. It's about what you give to others. Jesus instructs us to welcome the least of these, to care for them with radical hospitality. We are to show radical hospitality to those with little or no social status or power in our community. This Zion is Compassionate phone ministry thingy, it's this. Caring for these people because they're not here. In our community, in our church, if they're not here, they have no power or social status here. It's easy to forget about them. They're not here. But you know what we're going to do? We're going to love them and care for them and bless them in Jesus' name. We're collecting food for a food drive. That's just another way we can bless people. Show radical hospitality to the extremely poor who can't afford lunch. Those are two ways that we as a church are doing it, but what about you personally? What can you personally do to show radical hospitality to those with little or no social status in our community? Choose to welcome and care for the least of these and humble yourself as you do so, and the Lord will lift you up. That's the first correction in Luke chapter 9. And I've got a whole another 15 minutes of my sermon. But I'm just going to close today with this. Jesus sees you. When what you do serves Him, He sees you. And He cares for you. Worshiping God is more than just coming to church on Sunday morning. It's spending time with Him in His Word and seeing what He is telling you to do. If He's calling you to go and talk to your neighbor, if He's calling you to go and tell somebody else about the good news, then go do so. Jesus, right before this chapter, sent out the 12 to go and minister to the community. They went all over the place. But yet when they came back to Jesus, they thought, oh my goodness, how can I be made more important? I want to be important. Don't you? I want people to know my name. I want to be someone that people recognize. But when we live that way, when it's all about us, Jesus tells us to live differently. To live so that His name is the one that people think of, not us. Serving others isn't glamorous. It's often without thanks, and it's often done in secret. But what is done in secret, God honors. I'm reminded of Harold Baum's funeral. And in that funeral, we sing a song, "How Many Stars Will Be in Your My Crown?" It's an old country song. How many stars will be in my crown when I get up there? And you know how we get a star in your crown? It's not by the praise of the local newspaper or the community. It's what God saw you doing in secret. What He saw you in your prayer closet praying for those who were lost. What He saw as you gave to those in need. What He saw as you went and served those who needed help. Whatever it might be, God sees it. And He will elevate you. It may not be here on this earth, but someday. And I don't know about you, but I would much rather be made the least of these here on this earth and have 1,000 stars in my crown in heaven for eternity. I would much rather have the second than the first. Because this life is fleeting. This life is fleeting. But Jesus' kingdom is eternal. So what will you do to show radical hospitality to those in our community? Let's pray together. God, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for what You're doing in our hearts and minds. We pray, Lord, that You'll help us to follow You. We pray that You'll help us to follow Your example, just as You welcomed the little child into Your arms all those years ago. We pray that You'll help us to welcome those who have little or no social status or power in our community today. God, we pray that You'll bring people to mind of those that we can care for and those that we can draw nearer to you. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing. Thank you that we get to serve you. I pray that you'll help us to be humble as we do so. We pray all these things in Jesus' precious name. And all God's people said, amen. If you please stand with us this morning, our closing hymn is going to be Stand Up for Jesus. So please stand up for Jesus. And we'll close singing just the first and last, Esther, just the first and last, 1 and 4 of Stand Up for Jesus. Let's sing together. You know what that last line says? We're going to stand up for Jesus who reigns eternally. We may think that we can elevate ourselves, but whatever we do here is temporary. But whatever we do for Him and when He elevates us is eternal. So let us serve the one who is greater. Let us humble ourselves and serve the least of these to serve the greatest of all. Go in peace. Go knowing that the Lord is with you. And have an amazing rest of your week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.